भगवते वासुदेवाय
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4. Chapter 29 Talks between Narada and King Prachinabari. Texts 39 and 40. Only text 40 is written on the board. But please repeat after me, beginning with text 39.
Yatra
Bhagavata
Rajan
Sadhavo
Vishadasaya Bhagavat Guna
Anukataya
Shravana
Vyagra
Chetasa
Tasmin
Mahat
Mukarita
Madhubit
Charitra
Piyusha
Shesha
Sarita
Parita
Shravanti
Tat
Ye
Pibanti
Avitrisha
Nripa
Gada
Karnai
Tan
Na
Sprishanti
Ashana
Trit
Baya
Shoka
Moha. Tasmin Mahan Mukarita Madhubij Charitra.
Tasmin Mahan Mukarita Madhubij Charitra.
Piyusha Shesha Sarita Parita Shravanti.
Piyusha Shesha
Taye pibantya vitrishto nripagada karnais.
Taye pibantya vitrishto nripagada karnais.
Tanas prishatya sana trid vayashoka moha. Tasmin Mahan Mukarita Madhubij Charitra.
Tasmin Mahan Mukarita Madhubij Charitra.
Piyusha Shesha Sarita Parita Shravanti.
Piyusha Shesha Sarita Parita Shravanti.
Taye pibantya vitrishto nripagada karnais.
Taye pibantya vitrishto nripagada karnais.
Tanas prishatya sana trid vayashoka moha.
Tanas prishanti asana trid
Tasmin mahan mukharita marubich charitra.
Tasmin mahan mukharita marubich charitra.
Piyusha shesha sarita parita shravanti.
Piyusha shesha sarita parita shravanti.
Taye pibantya vitrishto nripagada karnais.
Taye pibantya vitrishto nripagada karnais.
Tana sprishantya sana trid bayashoka moha.
Tana sprishantya sana trid bayashoka moha.
Yatra. Where? Bhagavata.
Bhagavata.
Great devotees.
Great devotees.
Rajan.
Rajan.
O King.
O King.
Sadhava.
Sadhava.
Saintly persons.
Saintly persons.
Vishada Ashaya.
Vishada Ashaya.
Broad-minded. Bhagavat,
Bhagavat,
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Guna,
Guna,
the qualities.
The qualities.
Anukattana,
Anukattana,
to regularly recite.
To regularly recite.
Shravana,
Shravana,
to hear.
To hear.
Vyagra,
Vyagra,
eager.
Eager.
Chetasa.
Chetasa.
Whose consciousness.
Whose consciousness.
Tasmin.
Tasmin.
There.
There.
Mahat.
Mahat.
Of great saintly persons.
Of great saintly persons.
Mukharita.
Mukharita.
Emanating from the mouth.
Emanating from the mouth.
Madhubit.
Madhubit.
Of the killer of the Madhu demon.
Of the killer of the Madhu demon.
Charitra.
Charitra.
The activities or the character.
The activities or character.
Piyusha.
Piyusha.
Of nectar.
Of nectar.
Shesha.
Shesha.
Surplus.
Surplus.
Sarita.
Sarita.
Rivers.
Rivers.
Parita,
Parita,
all around. Sravanti,
Sravanti,
flow.
Flow.
Ta,
Ta,
all of them.
All of them.
Yea,
they who.
Pibanti,
Pibanti,
drink.
Drink.
Avitrisha.
Avitrisha.
Without being satisfied.
Without being satisfied.
Nripa.
Nripa.
O King.
O King.
Gadha.
Gadha.
Attentive.
Attentive.
Karnai.
Karnai.
With their ears.
With their ears.
Tan.
Tan.
Them.
Them.
Na.
Na.
Never.
Never.
Sprishanti.
Sprishanti.
Touch.
Touch.
Ashana.
Ashana.
Hunger.
Hunger.
Trit.
Trit.
Thirst.
Thirst.
Bhaya.
Bhaya.
Fear.
Fear.
Shoka.
Shoka.
Lamentation.
Lamentation.
Moha.
Moha.
Illusion.
Illusion.
Translation. My dear King, in the place where pure devotees live, following the rules and regulations, and thus purely conscious and engaged in great eagerness in hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, In that place, if one gets a chance to hear their constant flow of nectar, which is exactly like the waves of a river, one will forget the necessities of life, namely hunger and thirst, and become immune to all kinds of fear, lamentation, and illusion. Please repeat. My dear King,
my dear King,
in the place where pure devotees live,
in the place where pure devotees live,
following the rules and regulations,
following the rules and regulations,
and thus purely conscious,
and thus purely conscious,
and engaged with great eagerness,
and engaged with great eagerness,
in hearing and chanting,
in hearing and chanting,
the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
in that place,
in that place,
if one gets a chance,
if one gets a chance,
to hear their constant flow of nectar,
to hear their constant flow of nectar,
which is exactly like the waves of a river,
which is exactly like the waves of a river,
one will forget the necessities of life,
one will forget the necessities of life,
namely hunger and thirst,
namely hunger and thirst,
and become immune
to all kinds of fear,
lamentation,
and illusion.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The cultivation of Krishna consciousness is possible where great devotees live together and constantly engage in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. In a holy place like Vrindavan, there are many devotees constantly engaged in chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. If one gets the chance to hear from pure devotees in such a place, allowing the constant flow of the river of nectar to come from the mouths of pure devotees, then the cultivation of Krishna consciousness becomes very easy. When one is engaged in constantly hearing the glories of the Lord, he certainly rises above the bodily conception. When one is in the bodily conception, he feels the pangs of hunger and thirst, fear, lamentation, and illusion. But when one is engaged in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, he transcends the bodily conception. The word Bhagavat Gunanukatana Shravanam Vyagra Chetasa, meaning always eager to find the place where the glories of the Lord are being heard and chanted, is significant in this verse. A businessman is always very eager to go to a place where business is transacted. Similarly, a devotee is very eager to hear from the lips of liberated devotees. As soon as one hears the glories of the Lord from the liberated devotees, he immediately becomes impregnated with Krishna consciousness. This is also confirmed in another verse. Satam prasangan mama virya sambido bhavanti hritkarna risayana katha tajo shanadas vapavarga vartmani Shada Ratir Bhaktir Anukramishyati. In the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and to the heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and thereafter he is freed, and his attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begin. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25-25. In the association of pure devotees, one becomes attached to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. In this way, one can cultivate Krishna consciousness. And as soon as this cultivation is advanced, one can become faithful to the Lord, devoted to the Lord, and attached to the Lord. And thus one can very quickly attain full Krishna consciousness. The secret of success in the cultivation of Krishna consciousness is hearing from the right person. A Krishna conscious person is never disturbed by the bodily necessities, namely eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And I'll read the next verse because it follows naturally from text 40. This is text 41. I'll just read the translation and purport. Because the conditioned soul is always disturbed by the bodily necessities, such as hunger and thirst, he has very little time to cultivate attachment to hearing the nectarian words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. Unless one is associated with devotees, he cannot cultivate Krishna consciousness. Nirjan Bhajan. Cultivating Krishna consciousness in a solitary place is not possible for the neophyte, for he will be disturbed by the bodily necessities, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Being so disturbed, one cannot cultivate Krishna consciousness. We therefore see that devotees known as sahajiya, who make everything very easy, do not associate with advanced devotees. Such persons, in the name of devotional activities, are addicted to all kinds of sinful acts, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. There are many so-called devotees passing themselves off as devotees while engaging in these sinful activities. In other words, one who is influenced by sinful activity cannot be accepted as a person in Krishna consciousness. A person addicted to sinful life cannot develop Krishna consciousness, as indicated in this verse. Hare Krishna. This verse or series of verses tell us what we should hear, what we should speak, and what the effects of hearing and speaking about Krishna are. The difference between material life and spiritual life is very subtle, because pure devotees and ordinary people engage in the same activities. Devotees speak and ordinary people speak. Devotees listen to other people speak, and ordinary people also listen to others speak. Devotees remember what they've discussed, think about what they've discussed, and ordinary people do the same thing. So externally the activities are the same, but the difference, and it makes all the difference in the world, is the subject. Ordinary people discuss different varieties of sense gratification and mental speculation, and devotees discuss Krishna and Krishna consciousness. And by discussing ordinary topics of the material world, one becomes more and more entangled in material existence. One becomes absorbed in the bodily demands of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And one becomes degraded by material activities. Whereas the same process of using the tongue to speak and using the ears to hear, when engaged in Krishna, in the subject matter of Krishna, it elevates one's consciousness to the point that one no longer identifies with the body and therefore is not disturbed by hunger or thirst or illusion or lamentation or fear. Now this, some of the words in text 40, which is written in the board, I mean all of the words are significant, but I'll discuss a little bit about what is actually being said here. What's being said is that the consciousness, or the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord are always flowing in the consciousness of a devotee like a river. It's always flowing. It never stops. And so what we want to do is to catch that flow of nectar when it comes out of the mouth of the devotee. And what is the qualification for catching the nectar? The qualification is that one should be eager to hear. But the verse uses the beautiful metaphor of the river flowing and says that one should be eager to drink the nectar that flows from the mouths of pure devotees. And like a river, it just waters everything near it. So our ears actually should be thirsty. Our ears should be thirsty to drink the nectar of the river that flows from the mouths of pure devotees. And when one's ears are thirsty for that nectar, then one will drink it up, and get the result of being satisfied with Krishna consciousness and not having any other desire, material desire. Now, it is mentioned here, pibanti, drink, avitrisha, without being satisfied. Now, in material life, if we drink something or eat something, after a while we'll become satisfied. No matter how much we like it, we'll lose the taste for it because our senses become satiated. But with spiritual topics, avitrisha, one hears, pibanti, one drinks without ever being satisfied. He's satisfied in the sense that he doesn't want anything except Krishna, but he's not satisfied in the sense that he can never hear enough about Krishna. He always wants to hear more and speak more about Krishna. And therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami says that with one tongue and two ears, how can he chant and hear about Krishna? If he had a million tongues and a billion ears, then maybe he could begin to chant and hear. In other words, he wanted more and more and more. He wasn't satisfied with just one tongue chanting and two ears hearing. So this consciousness develops by association. We do not have that eagerness in the beginning, but we can develop the eagerness by associating with devotees and by serving devotees. In the first canto, second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Sayan Mahat Seveya Vipra Vasudeva Kataruchi, that by serving great devotees, Vasudeva Kataruchi, one develops ruchi or taste for the topics, kata, of Vasudeva or Krishna. So this is a very important part of the process, because if we don't have that taste, that thirst for hearing about Krishna, we can develop it by serving devotees. In fact, it is the nature of service that one develops the qualities of the person one is serving. And therefore, if one is serving someone who has taste for the topics of Krishna, then one will also develop taste. So, again, service is something everyone does. They might not want to call it service, but everyone works. But working for ordinary people and working for Krishna, or serving ordinary people and serving devotees of Krishna, have very different results. And that is mentioned in so many places in Srimad Bhagavatam. Mahat seva dwara mahur vimuktev. By serving great souls, the door to liberation is open. Mahat seva dwara mahur vimuktev. Tamo Yoshita Sanghi Sangam, and by serving ordinary people or associating with ordinary people who are attached to sense gratification, the door to hell opens, the door to darkness. So we have to practice. Whenever two people come together, there's a natural urge to speak. So we have to practice controlling our tongue and speaking only about Krishna and topics favorable for Krishna consciousness. We should restrain ourselves from the urge to discuss gramya katha, sort of village talk, gossip. And that village talk or gossip that can be in terms of our own little village here, our own little community, or it could be on a national scale. Oh, what did this politician say or do? What did this movie star say or do? Or on an international level. It's just the same nonsense. The Bhagavatam says that those who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, they engage in hearing and speaking about people who have no attraction for the messages of Krishna. So if we are very eager to hear the latest news about people who are not attracted to hearing and chanting about Krishna, such as most of the people in the world, so-called leaders, it puts us in that category of dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. Or as Srila Prabhupada said, the small animals are eulogizing the bigger animals. Like, oh, someone's very rich. So like, everyone wants to be rich, so they want to talk about some rich man. It's just, the consciousness is the same. It's just small animal eulogizing a big animal. Or whatever their particular character is. So we have to practice. Srila Rupa Goswami gives the example that when we are, he compares the disease of avidya. Avidya means ignorance. Basic avidya means that I identify with the body, and therefore I'm very eager to think about and speak about the body, things related to the body, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So that is the avidya. So Rupa Goswami says that when someone afflicted by avidya or ignorance is like a person suffering from jaundice. When one is in that jaundiced condition, sweet things like rock candy, sugar candy, taste bitter. And according to Ayurveda, one can be cured of jaundice by taking rock candy, even though it tastes bitter. But if one takes the medicine, then gradually one will recover one's health. And as one recovers, then that rock candy, which tastes bitter in the beginning, it will gradually taste sweeter and sweeter. And then when one is completely cured, one will be able to taste the rock candy as it is, which is sweet like nectar. So even though we may be afflicted by the disease of jaundice or the ignorance of identifying with the body, if we chant and hear about Krishna as a patient takes medicine, then one will gradually become cured of the disease. And as one recovers one's health, one will gradually be able to relish the sweet taste of Lord Krishna's holy name and qualities and pastimes. So everything takes effort. One cannot achieve anything in the world without effort. And Krishna consciousness also takes effort. One may be fortunate and have a natural taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna, but one may not be steady in that attraction. One may feel like that sometime and then another time not feel very interested. And so someone might think, well, wait, I'll just wait until I feel inspired and then I'll chant, I'll attend the temple programs, I'll chant my rounds, I'll hear the class. But that is not so recommended, because in the time when one is waiting for the inspiration to come, one is doing something, hearing about something, speaking about something, engaging in some activity. And that chanting and hearing and activity can make our disease worse. And then it's harder to regain our spiritual health. So we have to be careful not to give in to the dictates of the mind or the tongue, the belly, the genitals, all the different demands of the senses. It's not impossible that if one has fallen down into the clutches of the demands of the mind and the senses, it's not impossible to recover, but it's harder. And sometimes it's said that it's harder to recover from a relapse than from the original incidence of the disease. So we have to help each other. We should be a support group for each other to help each other stay on the right track, to engage in speaking about Krishna favorably, hearing about Krishna, and serving Krishna. And as we discussed yesterday, Krishna includes his name, forms, qualities, pastimes, paraphernalia, and entourage, expansions and
pure devotees.
And Krishna will help. Krishna within the heart will cleanse the dirt of material desire from within the heart of the devotee who is serious and eager to hear the messages of Krishna. Because cleansing the heart is not an easy job. In fact, it is beyond our individual capacity to do on our own. But Krishna, as the well-wishing friend of the truthful devotee, he himself cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from within the heart of the devotee who is eager to hear the messages of Krishna. And again, if we don't have that eagerness, we can develop it by serving pure devotees, by rendering menial service to pure devotees and Krishna. I mean, we serve Krishna through the devotees. Like cleaning, physically cleaning, Srila Prabhupada said, when you clean the temple, you clean your heart. But it's not just the temple room, it's all of Krishna's property. Once, when Srila Prabhupada returned from morning walk in Juhu, he saw that his room had been very nicely cleaned. And there was nice flowers and incense burning, and it was a very pleasing atmosphere. And it was usually like that, that some of the ladies would stay behind and clean Srila Prabhupada's room when Srila Prabhupada went on the walk. But Srila Prabhupada said that we shouldn't think that only the deity room should be clean, or that only the spiritual master's personal quarters should be clean, but the whole property, Hare Krishna land, the whole property should be clean. And if we have a consciousness that the deity room is different, the deity room should be clean, but the other parts of the property, they don't have to be so clean. That means we haven't really understood Krishna consciousness. We haven't really understood what is Krishna, that Krishna and Krishna's paraphernalia are the same. It's all Krishna. And so he said that one should keep every aspect of the property as clean as one would keep the deity room or the spiritual master's personal quarters. So there is plenty of opportunity to cleanse the heart and develop the taste for chanting and hearing if we take advantage of the opportunities. And we know we're in the bodily concept of life, and so it may take an effort. You know, in the bodily concept of life, we think, well, why should I clean? There are other people who can clean. I'm higher than that. You know, that's like a lower service. Okay, we know you're in the bodily concept of life, but it's a matter of discipline. Once a devotee asked His Holiness Radhanath Swami about the quality of humility, like he so much seemed to embody the quality of humility. And he said it was a matter of practice. You practice and then it becomes natural. So, for example, when I joined, I was told that if someone asks you to do some service, you should always agree. And if someone offers to do some service for you, you should always refuse. Now, our conditioned tendency is, oh, someone wants to serve me. Oh, great. I was just waiting for someone to offer. And if someone asks us to do some, why should I do that? It's not my service. But there's actually a joke, but it depends on a certain type of cultural background to understand it. I hope you do not have that same background, but anyway, since I've begun. So there's like a jokes about Polish people. I mean, people always come up with someone. In India, they have the same thing about Sardarjis. So anyway, the joke, I'm not going to tell them that, but the joke is how many Polish people does it take to screw in a light bulb? So I don't remember exactly, but the answer is something like 5. One to hold the light bulb in the socket, and 4 to turn that person around. I was like, that's... So some devotees thought of a counterpart to that joke of 4 devotees. And the question is, how many devotees does it take to screw in a light bulb? And the answer is, I don't know, Prabhu, it's not my service. So that we should be eager. We should be eager to hear. And if we're not eager to hear, we should be eager to become eager to hear, which means we should be eager to do service, menial service. Because that will cleanse our hearts so that we do become eager to hear. We want to avoid this sort of casteism, like, oh, I'm in a certain caste, or like unions, they have my union doesn't do this work, you have to get someone from the other union. This is my caste, we only do this, we don't do that. Devotees should be ready to do anything and everything to please Krishna. Srila Prabhupada told a story of when he was working in Dr. Bose's chemical laboratory. And the workers went on strike. And so Dr. Bose himself and Srila Prabhupada, who was his manager, they did all the packing and shipping themselves. And because they were ready to do that themselves, they were able to break the strike. And Srila Prabhupada used the phrase stubborn servant. Like, we should be very stubborn servant of Krishna. Nothing should budge us. You know, we're stubborn. This must be done. And if there's no one else to do it, I'll do it myself. But it must be done. Our godbrother Jayananda Prabhu, wonderful devotee of Srila Prabhupada, whenever someone wouldn't come to do his assigned duty, He would say, "Great news, Prabhus! More service for us!" So we should have that enthusiasm. Hare Krishna. Oh, any questions or comments? Yes?
Maharaj, thank you again very much for being with us this morning. You've been very lively. I was fortunate to be able to be in San Diego, California a few years ago, and met a friend who spent 4 or 5 years of her life working at the Disneyland theme park. And I finally got to go. I heard all about it all my life, but I finally went and took the tour. She told me that every night they repaint and they almost remodel the whole place before it opens the next morning. And I was just thinking about cleanliness and what she went through. It would be really neat to see her, bump it up a notch around her temple to revisit it brand new the very next morning.
Very good. Yeah, we can learn from the materialists because they do things. They can do things very well. Their motivation is different. Their motivation is money. But they're highly motivated. And they do things well. So we should also think, they do it, they're motivated. We should have that strong desire for Krishna like they have for money. And on that note, it wasn't in my mind up until now, but it did occur to me just now. That, and maybe between last night and this morning something happened, but there's quite a bit of refuse in Kalachandji's park, just pieces of paper and things left around. And even on Srila Gurudev's samadhi, like a lot of sort of dry mud on the steps and the whole parikrama area around it. So, I know we're short of devotees and many of the responsible devotees are in India, but especially now we're approaching Srila Gurudev's disappearance day. But Yes?
Thank you so much for yesterday. I have a question concerning when you spoke about satisfaction and eagerness.
Yes.
Is there such a thing as mediocre spiritual satisfaction? And if there is, how can we distinguish between one and the other? And the eagerness, when it becomes a frustration towards not being able to do certain services, how to avoid that, or what stage is that? We might be so eager that we get to a stage of frustration. So, two questions.
What was the first one? I missed the first part.
It was about if there is such a thing as mediocre satisfaction in spiritual life.
Mediocre? Well, a devotee is never satisfied in the sense that he always wants to do more for Krishna. In that sense, he's never satisfied, but he is satisfied in the sense that he's satisfied with Krishna consciousness and he doesn't want anything outside of Krishna consciousness, but within Krishna consciousness, he wants to serve Krishna more, chant more, hear more, serve more. So, but still, there can be a sort of sense of satisfaction, Like Srila Prabhupada said, whenever he published a book, he felt as if he'd conquered an empire. So there can be a sense of satisfaction when a job is completed. Srila Prabhupada underwent a great struggle to get the land in Juhu. And when it was all over and the document was finally signed, he like leaned back on his bolster and said, "It was a good fight." So yes, we're not impersonal. I mean, one can get a sense of satisfaction, and Krishna may reciprocate with your efforts and give you a lot of mercy. And when you get the mercy, you'll feel like so satisfied, like so overwhelmed that you can't even think of anything more. But then afterwards, you know, you want more mercy, you want to do more service, you want to please Krishna more. Then what was the second one?
About the eagerness.
Oh, yes.
How can one get to the frustration extreme of it?
Yeah, well, frustration is also, you know, it can be spiritual or material. It's the same thing. If someone has like a strong selfish desire, and then his desire is not fulfilled, he becomes frustrated and angry. But that's material. But spiritually, if we have a desire, and that desire is frustrated, if we keep the goal in mind, then the frustration can also become an impetus to receiving Krishna's mercy. One example that comes to mind was when we first got the deities of Radharasa Bihari in Bombay. We didn't even have the Juhu land then, but we had a rented apartment in central Bombay, and we were preparing to put on a major pandal program, major festival. And we didn't have money, very little money, and we were raising money for the pandal program. And so Shamsundar Prabhu, who was like the temple president in Bombay then, he put Yamuna Devi in charge of the deities. And because we didn't have any other money, and whatever we were collecting we needed for the pandal, so he said she had to raise the money. And it was very hard for her to raise the money. So one day she was like walking on the street on Warden Road, Bulabai Desai Road, and she just, I know she felt so frustrated that she couldn't do her service that she just sat down on the pavement and started to weep. And then this sort of black limousine, sort of old style black limousine stopped, and this very aristocratic, pious gentleman got out of the car. He saw this like white lady in her sari weeping on the sidewalk, and he asked her what was the matter. So she explained that, you know, that the festival was coming up and she had to get the outfits and ornaments and paraphernalia for the deities, and she didn't have any money, she couldn't raise the money, and she didn't know what to do. So the man said, "How much do you need?" So she gave the figure, which was quite a big amount back then. And he said, "Well, I am the chairman of one of the biggest temple trusts in Bombay. So you come with me to my office and I will write you out a check for the entire amount. And he did. So frustration isn't necessarily bad. We shouldn't let it get us down. You know, if we let it get us down, then that's not good. But otherwise, in a way, it's sort of natural. But we shouldn't give up. That's the main thing. I mean, even Srila Prabhupada was trying so hard to get his ticket to come to America, and then the P forms, all the formalities. And so he was staying in the Sindhi workers' colony in Andheri, which is not that far from Juhu, but there was no Juhu then. Prabhupada even hadn't even gone to America. But so he would be working, you know, to arrange to go to America, and there would be so many complications, so many problems, so many setbacks. And so this man who was living there at the time, he said that Prabhupada would come, you know, he'd come back and he'd be sort of discouraged. You know, sometimes he'd just be sitting there sort of discouraged. But then afterwards he'd like pick himself up, and then, or that man would ask, like, how did things go? And he said, well, no success today, but maybe tomorrow. You know, he never gave up. And he, even when he got to America, at first it was very difficult. So he would go to the Sindhi Steam Navigation Office and see when the next boat was going back to India. But he didn't actually get on any of those boats to go back. He stayed. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prem Charu?
Thank you, Maharaj, for the next class. I like when you mentioned about the service of cleaning the heart, when you mentioned the lower service comes, we should eagerly take it. And then, like, sometimes there are several services, and there are also, like, say, certain services you want to do. And then, offer the situation for circumstances. So how do we prioritize, you know, which can be ignored for now and can be taken care of later?
Now that's a very good question. Well, Srila Prabhupada raised the same question in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Mother Yashoda was feeding baby Krishna, and then the milk on the stove began to boil over. So she set baby Krishna aside to tend to the milk on the fire. And Srila Prabhupada explains that everything in the household of Mother Yashoda was meant for Krishna's satisfaction. But sometimes in devotional service, one has to do one service first and another service later. And how does one know what to do? And Srila Prabhupada said that intelligence comes from Krishna in the heart. But of course, there's also a bit of a condition. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam vidami buddhi yogam tam yena mamupayanti. Tesham satata yuktanam. Satata yuktanam means constantly engaged. Priti purvakam, with love. Then Krishna within the heart gives the intelligence. But he can do that. I mean, if we're sincere, he'll give us the intelligence within the heart. Or he may give us guidance through other devotees. You know, if it's something you have to decide on the spur of the moment, there may not be anyone there to consult, so you may just have to make a decision. But if it's a larger question of a direction in your life or a project, then it's worth consulting others and getting their perspective, because you know Krishna can speak to you through them. Hare Krishna. Wow. So much service. Yes.
Maharaj, there is such a thing, there is something in the real world that is called intervention, because we all are family. In the material world, what they do when they have a person in the family that is that's had a problem with drugs or any other kind of situation, they do an intervention. And what intervention means is that everybody that loves that person come together and they face him and they tell him and they remind him who he is and why they love him so much. So something like that, I think, could be done, because we are about solutions. We're not about letting people just go. We work so hard going out there, distribute books, to bring invitations, to bring prasadam for people to come to the movement, and then when they are with us, we become a little bit complacent about someone having trouble.
I think that's a very good suggestion. I have seen that even on higher levels, if there's some concern about a senior devotee, then other, like a group of other senior devotees, especially if they have that relationship with the person, then they get together as a group and speak to him. And it can be very effective when a number of people are saying the same thing. And you know that they're your well-wishers, they're not envious. Yes, Namaruchi.
Thank you very much for your nice class. Sometimes you notice, I notice that, with the same subject that we're discussing, is that sometimes people are trying. But because people are so attached to their previous behavior, it's sort of they hold it against the person and they treat the person bad. And sometimes I've seen that there's people that, you know, you can tell that they're trying, you know, to be nice, to do some service, but, you know, it's just like it hurts them when, you know, other people hold, you know, it's like, oh, you know, that devotee, you know, he's not that good of a devotee, you know, he does this and that. And then I've noticed that when I just treat that person good, I just try to focus on the good things the person has done, that, you know, I try to remember the service that they have done in the past, or at least try to focus, like you said one time, you said that we should see the good even if you have to squint. And so sometimes I try to meditate on the good things that the person has done, and that helps me sort of view the person in a different perspective and appreciate them based on their qualities. And the person changes. The person trying to look at it's like wow, somebody's actually noticing that I'm trying. And so that person sort of, you know, you can see them change. Like it's like they become like, and so I know there's devotees that their behavior. I mean, I'm not perfect. You know, I'm far from being perfect, and I'm more aware of my faults than the good that I have. So, but at least, you know, so at least I try to see the. So I mean, sometimes in a naive way I see, and I think. Oh, maybe that person's just in a really advanced level of, you know, he's so advanced that, you know, he doesn't need to follow any rules or anything. And maybe it's just my naive, maybe philosophical naiveness, because maybe I'm not, you know, so learned in the philosophy that, you know, it's just like, well, yeah, you know, the Goswamis, even though they were pure devotees, at least they acted properly for the benefit of others so that the others can follow their example. So, you know, I think of that as like, okay, they're not acting Perfect. But sometimes it helps me sort of, you know, appreciate them. And you know, they may be naive, but anyways, I'm just throwing that out there because I have been in those same situations. And sometimes even the devotees are, you know, quote unquote, like, you know, doing everything properly, sometimes because of their arrogance, they treat people worse. Mm-hmm. And then some of these devotees that, you know, are having difficulties, but somehow they're humble.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Nice, yeah. See the good, even if you have to squint. That's good. Yeah. Yeah, pride is very damaging. It's about the worst. And, you know, you don't really know what the other person's consciousness is. And so it's dangerous to judge them just by the external appearances. I'll give an example of my own. I went to Khajuraho to meet the king, to ask him to give us the palace at Govardhan. And I went with a lawyer from Mathura. So the first night the king put us up in a little guest house he had. You know, the king's, they had so many palaces, big, small, medium. So little palace he was running as a guest house. And at about 9 at night, when it was about time to retire, he sent over some servant with some fried potatoes, like so oily and just like dripping with oil, and halva, similarly floating in oil. So the lawyer, you know, it was a huge amount for the two of us, and you know, do you want to say, no, it's too late, and it's too heavy. Okay. Anyway, I'm a bridge posse, so I'm going to eat. So he ate quite a bit. But I had some pride, you know, like I didn't eat. So then the next morning, I got up before he did. So again, he's snoring away, I'm up. And so, yeah, it was like that. The showers and the WCs, they were separate. You know, it's like a courtyard, so you had to go upstairs. It was like really cold, like freezing cold. And I was taking the shower, and it's like just so cold, just trying to get through it. And then, you know, then got dressed, and I was chanting in the courtyard. There were some tulsi plants in the courtyard. So then, after a while, the man got up, and he went upstairs, and he was taking his shower. And while he was taking his shower, he's singing, Radhe, Radhe, Govinda, Govinda, Radhe. I thought, wow, you know, what is his consciousness, and what is my consciousness? I took my shower, or whatever, bath, but I was just like gritting my teeth and just waiting for it to be over, and he's taking his bath and he's in a very happy mood and singing Radhe Radhe Govinda. And then it might have even been the night before, but yeah, the king did send that later, pretty late. But, you know, there was a question, like, what are we going to do to eat, you know? And there's like a little marketplace, and, you know, they sell sweets and samosas, you know, the typical bazaar. And, you know, you should get some samosas. And so I had this dream. And in the dream, we're on the street of the marketplace, and this Brijbasi lawyer he's buying some, I think it was actually the night before, it was the night, yeah, and he's buying some samosas in the market, and he's like standing in the street eating the samosas, and he's singing Radhe Radhe Govinda, Govinda Radhe. And that was the night before. And then the next morning when he was singing it in the shower, I made the connection, like, wow, you know. He might be eating a samosa from the street, but he's Krishna conscious. So, yeah, we don't really know what another person's consciousness is. And generally it's better, depending on the relationship, but generally it's better to give them the benefit of the doubt.